Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 5, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wild world of wrestling and witchcraft on Wednesdays. Today's guest is a quiet powerhouse. She has the perfect combination of both mental and physical strength. You have always been told to look out for the quiet ones, and she's living proof. She has overcome and dominated after enduring a life-altering injury, breaking not just one, but multiple vertebrae in her neck. She is equal parts martial artist to pro wrestler. Her future is bright, and she's big in Japan. If you're under 35, you're probably not going to understand the reference. Ladies and gentlemen, my girl, Janae Kai. Where did wrestling come from? Where was your love birthed?
I mean, it started when I was little, of course, when I was a kid, just watching wrestling. But my dad kind of introduced wrestling to me. I don't know how it happened. I think it was just like his side of the family was really into it. And then I kind of peeked in and saw them watching it and started watching it with them. And yeah, like they were a big fan of The Rock, and like they even had like The Rock poster up in the house and everything. So like, yeah, it literally started when I was like around 5 years old. I was seeing a lot of like wrestling stuff. And then my dad started taking me to the live shows when I was like six. And I remember, you know, going to SmackDown Live and seeing The Rock there when The Rock was on SmackDown, seeing Trish Stratus, seeing like the Hardy Boys come out, seeing Kane. Like, it was like early 2000s, WWE, obviously, as you can tell, like the people that I'm saying that I was seeing.
That was my
live.
Favorite era. So you're preaching to the choir,
yeah.
Girl.
And like, as I was watching each of them, they kind of gave me this like feeling, like I can't really explain it. It's just like this vibe that I was like, yo, like I love how they make me feel, and I want to be like that one day. I want to be that person that makes somebody watching like feel exactly how I'm feeling.
I love that. So it was like an energy, it was a vibe. And how old were you when that switch went?
When I was 6 years old, I was you know, heavily into it, as like, you know how any kid is, and like really, really, really bleeds every single little thing someone was saying on the mic, like just everything, you know. And then when I was 13, that's when I knew for sure that I wanted to get into it somehow. And that's when I told my mom first that I wanted to see if I can get into it. And I did the research myself.
At 13,
like, I did all the research.
I did all the research myself
first, and then I told my mom about it, and then she took me to a school that was nearby just to like check it out, like just to see like what it really is like. And with them knowing that I was 13 years old, you know, of course it's a little I mean, back then it was definitely a little bit like, oh, I don't know, you're gonna be the youngest one here, like it's very like, of course my mom has to be there all the time. So after high school, I was kind of thinking about it, and then it finally happened where I was old enough to just move out on my own and go do it myself. So that's what I did.
Good for you. So you had it locked in from a young age, and you just kept chipping away. So when did martial arts come into play in your life? Because obviously your wrestling persona, your wrestling style is all heavily influenced by martial arts.
So I started Taekwondo when I was six. So like around the time where I got into wrestling as well. And 6 years old was Taekwondo. And then when I got older, I did Muay Thai and kickboxing, Dutch kickboxing to be exact. And that's when I kind of transitioned my style a little bit more, rather than more like Taekwondo style. I started going into like more of the Muay Thai, like mixed martial arts type style. And of course, when I started wrestling, that's when I definitely wanted to implement what I knew already into a pro wrestling style.
Very cool. So you struck a nerve with me. You said specifically Dutch kickboxing, or was that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. So instantly I'm thinking Tommy and Aleister Black. Have you guys communicated with that love of pro wrestling and kickboxing?
No, I have not, but I would love to because every time I see like any videos of him hitting mitts or anything
Yeah.
like that, it's like, oh, yeah, like it's
Oh.
exactly like,
You
yeah,
guys need
that's
emergence.
exact
There's something there,
training.
100%. Because I
Oh,
was just like,
yeah.
Dutch kickboxing, that is very specific. And the only person
Yeah.
I know is someone who's from there, which is funny, because pro wrestling is so not saturated on that side of the country. How did you specifically get into Dutch kickboxing?
I went over to Florida. It was like South Florida at Henry Hoof's gym. Henry Hoof, he's a very popular kickboxing coach, and he trains a lot of UFC fighters, and he specifically like trains like Dutch kickboxing style. And so that's where I went, and he's the one that really switched my style like that, because
Interesting.
he saw that I was very Taekwondo like based
Okay.
just because of my stance. And then he saw how I just kicked, like the first kick I threw, he was kind of like, try it this way, just change that one little thing, like put your hand out real quick before you like to get that distance and then kick. But he really saw it right away and he switched everything.
Wow.
So yeah, right after that I was like, wow, like I really like this outlet, this is me. Yeah, I really love the Dutch kickboxing style a
Oh,
lot.
cool. Now, obviously, you're very unique. And that's really what makes women's wrestling so exciting in 2023. There's so many different styles. The talent pool is so vast and in depth, but it's the characters. And tell me about your look, because you have a very unique look. Is this you, the pro wrestler, that has kind of that look bleeds into your life? Or is your like physical look, is this you? And it just so happens that it's amazing and unique in wrestling.
It's like a mixture, to be honest, because it is me out there.
Yeah.
As the pro wrestler, like that's definitely me. Like my style, I do try to keep it like how I actually am in my personal life, you know?
Yeah.
Because like for me, I really try to make it authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the ring, I try to make people, you know right away, okay, this is authentically her. Like this is very organic. I love what I see. Okay, I get it. Okay, cool. Like, I know exactly who this person is.
I have to say, so when I started this podcast, it was primarily just women in pro wrestling, my family, my sisters. I've grown to incorporate some guys. And then for a little while, I was interviewing MMA, bare knuckle, and women of UFC. And the one thing I will say, pro wrestling, we all know it's a work. However, it's hard hitting. It still breaks down your body. And there's elements of it that are very real. MMA, martial arts, this is very different. This is a shoot. This is real. You women who can literally kill somebody with your bare hands have the calmest dispositions I have ever come across in my life. You are cute as a button. You are so zen. But I know that you could take down someone twice your size and it's giving me life. I love it.
I get that a lot. Because people really don't expect certain things from me. Because I am more quiet, too.
Yeah.
I do open up quick, but, like, I still try to maintain. I think it's more so because of, like, how I was taught in Taekwondo with the discipline and everything. And how it was very quiet in class. And, like, you didn't really, you know. It's cool, though. It's all good. Like, it's not like
good.
I'm taking any offense to it. Or anything, like I totally get it, and like I love surprising people that way, to be honest.
Truly, that's what I mean. I truly mean it as a compliment, because when you see somebody in a fight in their element, being martial arts, MMA, UFC, whatever it is, you're a trained fighter, right? Like you're actually fighting, and it's to win. But the human being is so different, which is why I love this podcast. So let's step away from wrestling, martial arts. Tell me a little bit about you. What was your favorite subject in school? Or did you hate school? And that wasn't a thing.
School, I always think about like high school the most, because that's when I definitely like kind of found myself more, was more comfortable in my own skin. And my favorite subject was art. And I think that comes more so from like my dad's side of the family, because there's a lot of artists on that side, very creative side of the family. And I always did so well with it. I even got accepted to a school in New York for illustration. Like
No
that's how
way.
much, yeah, that's how much I was into art. And so that's always like the go-to subject in school for me. I was always excited to go to that class. I was also good at history.
Okay.
Yeah, like art was always something, like anything creative, because I knew like with any project they gave us, it was our choice of what we wanted to do with that specific project. So that's what always like made me excited, because I always had like some sort of idea of what I wanted to do creatively, what kind of art style I wanted to do, which was like abstract art, because that's something I always like to do. I always like to just grab a pen or something and like let my mind do the work, not even
Oh, I
think too
love
much
that.
about it. Yeah.
So obviously, I'm looking for some way to segue into spirituality, and you just nailed it for me. That's such like an organic thing where you're basically shutting off your conscious mind and you're getting into your subconscious. Do you still draw? And is that something that is almost like meditation for you?
Yeah, I try to do it for that purpose too. Like if I even have like an artist block or something, I'll just like sit down and just do other things that I remember that I could do, like drawing or just doodling or whatever. I try to at least
Sure.
do that to, 'cause that kind of makes my mind work but not work at the same time too much. Like it's calming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have any other spiritual practices that you've kind of developed over the years?
My religion is Christianity, but also Methodist, so
Okay.
I'm very open, and I like that's also a very spiritual side too when it comes to religion. But I
Yeah.
also just listen to like sermons and like, because that's what I did when I also was going through my injury. I was listening to a lot of sermons and just having that faith again. That's kind of like how I went back to believing a little bit more. Like, oh snap, like this is real. Like kind of like miracles in a way do happen, because I had a neck injury and like I literally could not even be alive right now. It's crazy how that injury went, because
Well, let's rewind. Let's talk about it for our listeners who don't know what happened. So tell us about the injury when it happened.
So when it happened, I lost feelings of my legs completely. Like it was in the ring. I took a German and I fractured three, four, it was four, five, six, seven.
Oh my God.
I lost feeling in my leg completely. And this happened for like a good, like a solid like 30 seconds where I couldn't even stand up. And
Oh
then the
my
feeling came
goodness.
back. Yeah. And then the craziest part that I always tell people was that wasn't even like the part where I went to the hospital, because I didn't go to the hospital after that. I went home. And then,
What? Girl, I would wring your neck. No, like you needed that
It was just like one of those things, like with any athlete in their mind, the last thing they want to think about was going to the hospital
Of
right
course, of
away,
course.
because they don't want to hear something or whatever. Like, oh, they think it's just, oh, let my body heal for a couple days, it'll be fine.
I get it.
So it was that, but this was like going on for over a week where I didn't go.
Oh my
And
God. Just
but this
walking
is,
around with some fractured vertebrae in your neck. No
walking
bigs.
around, going to work, and was involved in two matches as well with a broken neck. And this is like
Oh my
traveling to
gosh.
Chicago with a broken neck, everything. And
And what was the
yeah,
pain level like?
it was literally like, because I would like massage my neck even like on the side, and like I would feel like something wrong. I'm like, this feels weird. It was like, I don't know if that's like the regular bone or it, well, I don't know what it was,
Oh
but
God.
I just kept doing like kind of like rehab type exercises on it. And I think like when I knew for a fact that I needed to go get this checked out was when I couldn't do a front roll, like a forward roll at all.
What would happen?
I would bend all the way down, and then my body would immediately shut down and stop me from even going forward. Like, it was a weird feeling. Like, I didn't, something that I knew my, I didn't know my body could do was like freeze and not make you do something. And that's what happened. And that's when I went to the doctor, and that's when did the x-ray. And the same guy did the x-ray. She said, you need to go to the hospital right away. Cause if something in the slightest happens, you can have permanent damage. Whether that means like you'll be paralyzed or you could die, basically. And that's what, like, and that's what the doctor even told me too. He was like, I don't even know how you're standing right now.
That's,
and that's like
so
when
crazy.
Like the whole like when I was like, oh, it's not like my faith, like everything, I like, kind of went up, because like I literally could not even be here right now or do what I'm doing in the ring right now.
I can't believe
everything
that.
I do, yeah, everything I do is like based with standing up, kicking, everything. Like, I could honestly just not be doing that right now, you know?
Did you have to have surgery? What was the recovery like?
Yeah, I didn't. I needed surgery right away, like the next morning.
Okay.
And the recovery went by fairly quick, only because the doctor said, because I'm young, that's why, like, the recovery is going to be quicker. But I was in a brace for like a good month. And then it was like overall 3 months where I couldn't do much. And then I could slowly start doing physical things like weightlifting a little bit, you know, after 3 months. That's when I started, you know, doing the weightlifting, because I did lose a bunch of muscle in my upper body.
Sure.
And so, yeah. But the doctor said at first, you know, no more wrestling ever.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And then the second follow-up, he was like, all right, you can choose what you want to do, but don't do what you did. Basically, that caused what happened. And I was like, all right. And like, from the get-go, though, like, even right when he told me, like, not to wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, this doesn't feel right. Like, I need to wrestle. You know?
So that was my first question. Yeah. Was there ever a moment that you were like, okay, maybe I'm done?
No, I did not I didn't believe it. It was just like me not believing what he was saying. I was like, no, I know. I just gotta, like, you know, keep positive. It's like, let it flow, like, and let this go slowly. Like, don't rush it. Like, I already know. Like, I know I can do this. And then, like, when he said, you can do it, but don't do what you did, I was like, all right, cool. I can wrestle. Thanks.
Yeah, you can wrestle. Just don't break your neck again.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah. 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 You know,
wow, that is a true testament to your mental strength, because I don't know a lot of people, granted, a lot of wrestlers have broken their necks and continue to wrestle, but you had, like, you really had angels with you, girl. Like, I can't believe you were walking around, still traveling, still wrestling with a broken neck, and you're here today in full functioning capabilities. Like, you live your dream, because you've got one life, and, you know, you basically got a second chance. And how long ago was this?
This was end of 2019. So, like, even, like, before pandemic struck, like, that's when I was like, oh, okay. Like, and then wrestling was at a pause. I'm like, okay, so I'll get to still a little
like
bit
a gift.
More.
Yeah, it was a gift, really, because you probably, your stubborn ass would have been straight back in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did your family cope with all of that? Because, you know, as much as I'm sure they're your biggest cheerleaders in your sports system, they're still your parents, and they don't want to see you get hurt.
I think, like, my dad was more worried than my mom, because, like, my mom goes about things in a more calm way. Like, all she wants to, like, she'll ask, like, okay, what do we do? What do we have to do? Do you need anything? Whatever. And then my dad, like, he, like, seen me, like, you know, I told you that he took me to, like, wrestling and everything. Like, he is so hyped that I am doing wrestling because of that, and seeing me grow because, like, he's kind of, what's it called, like, living vicariously, like, through me, like, in a sense. Like, and, like, he loves seeing that I'm living this dream. And, you know, when he heard about what happened, he was definitely worried. Like, he even, like, I was in Florida at the time, and he came down and visited me just to really, because he needs to visually see what's going on to understand the situation.
Sure.
He's seen me wrestle since then. You know, even recently he saw me wrestle, and he still gets worried, of course, because even if I'm taking a big bump or something, He's still letting me know, like, I don't like it when you do that. I'm like, it's okay, it's safe. I do it, like, I trust these people, like, for sure. Like, I know when to say no or be okay with something. Like, I speak up, it's okay.
So would you say more than anything, it was your faith that got you through that and enabled you to have the actual ability to get back into wrestling?
Yeah, 100%. 100% it was, because that's
Good
literally what
for you.
I wasn't even watching a lot of wrestling during the recovery. I was doing more of like my faith, like practicing my faith and listening. And yeah, that's what really got me through it.
If you can look back at who you were going into that injury and who you are now as that being part of your life as a lesson, what's the most like pivotal or what is the biggest change you see in yourself from having been through such a challenging injury and moment in your life and your career?
I just take my time a little bit more with things. I think it's also part of just growing up too, because when I'm 28, but like, I know, like, if I was like 22 and going through this, I would want to rush everything a little bit more.
Sure.
Even after an injury, I would want to still rush, and like, my mind goes a million miles per hour. But like, right now, I'm good with just going slow with it. Like, I'm okay, I got the patience. I know something's gonna happen later. It's all good. Like, I'm not gonna.
Good.
Yeah, that's literally
Smooth is
what I learned.
fast, so
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing you could do, especially with everything you've been through.
Yeah.
And let's talk about you being 28. Girl, your skin is giving me 18. What cream are you using? What the shit?
Am still working on my skin, to be honest. Like, this is literally like learning how to do makeup. Like, I'm just like, yeah, like, I get that all the time too. But
You got
yeah,
those good genes.
no, oh yeah, because yeah, my mom's skin is, I've never seen her break out once in her life, so yeah.
You're gonna tell me you use fucking soap and water and
No,
like.
not at all. Like, I literally try a bunch of things. Like,
Good.
even I use like the, 'cause I watch a lot of like TikToks and stuff with like what to do.
How else do we
But
learn how to
yeah,
live?
like, that's how I
TikTok.
learned makeup more, and that's how I learned about
Totally.
skincare, TikTok.
Yep.
And like, I
Yep.
even use like the makeup removing like cleanser, like the oil cleanser. I don't use the wipes, because I
Good.
heard about something when it comes to wipes, but like,
Yep.
yeah, like just certain techniques and ways to take care of your skin, especially if you're hitting
Look at
30. I've heard like you definitely need to get off of it.
you
But
are at the perfect age to start giving a shit.
yeah.
Because I think I was around your age when I was like, okay, I gotta really start taking this shit seriously because we do a lot of damage.
I feel like I just had a feeling that it's gonna hit me out of nowhere, and I'm gonna be not even prepared.
I think it's like that too, especially if you got those good genes. You look 25 and then all of a sudden you're like, when did this happen? Oh no.
I try to, so I have like workout equipment in my home.
Nice.
So I work out at home, and then there is a gym in the apartment complex. So I sometimes go out there if there's like equipment that I don't have here. I try to do as much cardio as I can, and then
Cardio,
upper
big.
body, a lot of upper body strength, because my lower body strength I'm okay with. Like, I have no concerns about it, but
Yeah.
like the upper body, like ever since injury too, like
You're
I've been trying to
right.
get that up 100%. Like, that's the most important thing to me right now, is getting that back up. When it comes to like dieting, I don't have any specific diet. I never struggled with any like type of diet or eating a certain way. I've always kept pretty like settled.
That's good.
And yeah, like if I'm gonna have like a cheat meal or eat something sweet, like I'll pick and choose when, but I'm not always craving it. Like right now on my table, I have like sour gummies, but like I'm not like, I'll grab it here and there. I'm like,
Right.
but yeah, I can like control what I eat, and usually I listen to what my body wants. Like, hey, I feel
Perfect.
like having a burger. Okay, we're gonna eat a burger around here.
I think
Like,
that's the best. Intuitive
yeah.
eating, like your mind will tell you, And because of that, that's why you're not ricocheting and you're not eating 4,000 calories in a sitting, because you're not depriving yourself. And you train hard, and it sounds like you're mentally strong and healthy and happy. And I think that's half the battle, is just like, when this is happy and healthy, this follows suit.
Yeah, exactly.
I've read, and I know by following your career, Japan has been the biggest influence on your career. You want to tell me about your time spent in Japan?
Yeah, so I went to Japan in February, the first time, and I wrestled for TJPW. I had two matches, but Japan has always been the goal, like, since like day one. Like,
okay,
I need to go there. I need to keep going there and make a career there somehow. So when I first went, it was definitely confirmation, like, yeah, this is the spot right here. And I definitely felt like this is a time in my career where I felt like, all right, I'm at a different level now. Like, this is a, like, when you're traveling and you're going overseas, like, you'll know, like, you have the feeling, okay, this is, I'm at a different level now. I come back, I'm more motivated. Like, yeah, so that's how I feel right now. I feel more motivated. I want to go back like a million more times, even like stay there for like 3 months if I can. Like, I'll do what I need to do to make that happen, because that's literally all I've been thinking about. But the whole experience was like amazing, because I did have a lot of downtime just to like, I was just by myself the majority of the time, but like, I would meet up with some people that live over there who are wrestlers here and there. But this is definitely me independently, like, just, you know, going out in the world and like discovering things and experiencing like different culture. And so that's what I did. I took advantage of it, because I've always dreamed of going there. I had like a lot of spots in mind that I wanted to visit and all that, and I went to all of them. I was very happy with this trip and satisfied, and
all by yourself.
Very successful too. Yeah, all by myself too. And yeah, that's why I just want to go back, because I just there's a lot more that I want to showcase when it comes to wrestling of myself. And I think I left at a very good mark, though, because like a lot of people told me like they loved what they saw when I was over there, and even being featured on a magazine over there, like, that really like stunned me. And I was like, damn, like, okay, this is confirming that I'm doing things correctly and to always follow like my feeling.
Sure. Well, it just seems like the most perfect fit for you with your background and your look, but you're just North American enough that it's different and it's fresh and it's cool.
Yeah. I think
it makes so much sense for you to be in Japan. There's this feeling you get that's indescribable after you do your first match, where neither you or your opponent speaks the same language, and you learn that wrestling really is this universal language. And even though you can't communicate, you're still so bonded. You know, you get along, but you have no idea what the other person is saying.
Yeah. Like, we both get each other.
Yeah. And you know, you just walk around going, you know, and then, and this, and you're like, you put a banger together, and it's the best growth feeling, I think, as far as your wrestling career. So I just wanted to take a moment and say congratulations. I'm so excited for you, and I can't wait for you to go back. You know, I'm getting spiritual chills. I feel like that is your shit right there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, let's do my top 10 tailor-made questions. It is not a speed round. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting dark because I am a witch. I am goth. I want to ask some weird questions that no other interview is probably going to ask you.
Okay, cool.
Have you ever thought about your funeral? And if so, what song would be playing and what would your ceremony look like?
You know what? I actually haven't thought about it.
It's so good for you, happy girl.
It's so funny because like my mom talks to me about it, like what she plans to have going on. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to talk about it. But
you're like my
I
sister.
That.
That's cool.
I have no idea.
Good. You know what? That's probably means you're healthy. So I'll take my weird questions and move on to the next one. What zodiac sign are you?
I'm a Libra.
A Libra. Oh, okay, interesting. If you could pick three qualities that would make up the perfect zodiac sign, and I usually think about it as what makes up the perfect partner or friend, what three qualities would make up the perfect zodiac sign?
Like Libras, like they're all about balance. So that's one thing. So like balance, someone who you can easily, like you want to be their friend. Like they have that vibe to them, which I believe if there's one zodiac sign like that. I forgot which one. It's like that. But
oh, that's really likable.
Yeah, very likable. Like you easily want to be their friend.
Likeability.
Yeah. Yes. And then another is probably just an overall loving, caring person.
I like that.
Yeah.
Perfect. What is your secret supernatural power?
I don't know if this is like a power, but like it's just automatically having the strength to like maintain during situations.
Oh, that's like totally a power.
Okay, because it was kind of like we were talking about like how I am calm, but you know, mm-hmm. I know I can go if I needed to fight. I know, but like I don't have that automatic trigger to fight.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's. I feel like that is like a power of mine.
That is. I got. Knowing you're powerful, but not not showing your cards immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I think that's a superpower for sure. You could be a hothead, but you don't need to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you believe in ghosts? And if so, do you have a ghost story?
I sort of like believe, but I haven't had like a personal experience. I've heard other people's experiences and it makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Like due to like what the situation was. Because even I believe that someone is in the room with you, let's say like someone close to you that passed away. I believe they're in or around the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you believe in energy.
Yeah.
You believe spirits are around us, but you haven't had anything happen to you specifically, but you believe. You just don't.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it yourself. Okay.
Right.
All right. Nip slip, incontinence, little pee in the ring, lip slip. We've all had it. What's been your most embarrassing moment in the ring? And if you haven't peed in the ring as a female professional wrestler, you're not working hard enough yet.
Slightly. Slightly. It's a slight one. But
just a little pee.
Just a little bit. And it was like, it's like, you know, like you always got to pee right before the match type deal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like when you're in the corner and someone gives you that gut.
Or you have a big belly out, missile drop kick off the... It's not, we're not supposed to play pinball with our fallopian tubes and our uterus. So it's just a little pee. It's fine.
Yeah. So that has happened for sure.
Yeah. Good girl.
But you're like embarrassed, but nobody else.
No. And you can't see it. It's like you have this moment where you're like, did anyone see that? No one sees it. No one sees it. Nothing to be embarrassed about at all. Mm-hmm. What is your professional wrestling pet peeve?
Okay, I'll talk about like maybe like the business in general with like how things are, like even like with social media and stuff. It's just when people are assuming certain things when they don't know the facts, like they are not knowledgeable of wrestling, yet they want to automatically assume and say something is a certain way and they're rolling with it. Okay. And they're walking away saying it with all confidence. When they know that they're not knowledgeable in wrestling, but they want to critique and say all this feedback, acting like as if it's legit, you know? So that's like kind of like a pet peeve. I'm sure a lot of people can agree with that one, but yeah.
So haters.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
That's cool. That's their job.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there's haters because I'm not wasting my time doing it. And love you or hate you, they're still watching you. So fuck them.
Okay. Yep. They're gonna attend the show that you're on too.
They're paying for you to be there, so you know what, hate away. You're contributing to the metrics of my show, my social media. Thank you for the paycheck. Just remember, they're watching you.
Yep.
And they're paying to be there, so don't worry about it. But I get it. You know, it's hard. You know, I've been in the business a long time. I'm 37. I've been through a lot. But I just think, you know, put those keyboard warriors or even the people backstage that are talking out their ass and just know that whatever they're saying is probably more about them than it is about you. And just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
you do your silent strong thing. Yeah. Like, I could kill you. But all right.
I just sit there and read what they're saying. I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep scrolling.
And, you know, don't get it twisted. Those kind of people, they go home going, fuck. What did I say?
Yeah.
That stuff always circles back.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your favorite band or artist?
Right now, I will say that I like the Suicide Boys. They're more like a dark rap crew.
Okay.
I've walked out to their songs like a lot. I'm slowly like switching my walkout song now to something else. Oh. But I typically like the dark rap, like alternative style music.
Okay.
That, and then I listen to a lot of like EDM, like techno music. Like if you're in an underground rave, like what you picture as the song, like the music, that's what I listen to.
I like it because you are so unique as a person, and that's like a very specific niche music genres.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love Doja Cat. I love, like, I don't know. Like, that's not like.
But Doja Cat's still hard. Okay. Yeah. Like, that's not fluffy. No, but that's okay. But that's like a little bit of sing along.
Yeah.
Music, at least.
And you're
like,
the dancing. Yeah. You know I mean, you know, sometimes dancing, I like to break out happiness. Something here and there.
But Doja is still like bad bitch. Like you're dancing, but you're like, I know what's
exactly.
Up.
Yeah, you know, I have those moments too. The Kick Demon has those moments too. So
okay, as long as there's balance, that's all I'm asking for. Is just a bit of balance.
Yeah.
Name a movie that changed your life.
Well, I always like watching Rush Hour movies.
Oh. That's so funny.
I love watching all the Rush Hour movies because even though I've seen it a million times, it still cracks me up. Like this, every little part of it. And I even like memorize like Rush Hour 2. I memorize that movie to the T. So I just like putting that on. Even like, or when I like, there was like a moment where every time like, I was traveling to shows and I stayed at a hotel, I put the TV on and Rush Hour's on. Like that was happening for a good minute. I was like, what is going on? Like, Rush Hour is on TV all the time and at hotels.
That's your, like, comfort show or movie, excuse me, on the road. Like, mine was always Law & Order because if it was a time and a day, Law & Order was always on at a hotel. And you don't have to, like, it's just that thing that's always there that makes you comfortable. Like, only people that live on the road can understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. How many are there?
There's four. There's like one that came out that didn't have Chris Tucker or Jackie Chan. It was kind of weird, but I didn't watch that one.
That's a point.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't authentic. It was a rough try.
It was kind of, I had to take like a second look. I'm like, wait, that's not that.
Who is your most embarrassing crush of all time?
I will say when I was in middle school, I was kind of like an emo head and I was obsessed with Tokyo Hotel and I really liked Bill Cowlitz a lot, but like that was like a crush. And then I got into like Japanese rock music and that's when I got more crushes like from Japanese rock bands. So I don't know if you would know any of them, but like. If you saw how these Japanese rock band members looked, it would be like, all right, I get it.
Okay, I'm getting a vibe. I know what the look is. I won't know any of the bands, but okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting it. I appreciate this. Where can our listeners find you on the interweb? Social media? Give me all the things.
So I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Janiah_Kai. And then I'm on Twitch as well, which I just started streaming again. And that's twitch.tv/JanaiKai. And then if you want like an exclusive content type thing, I have Patreon. It's patreon.com/Nikai.
Perfect. Okay, last one. Finish this lyric. That my best friend, she a real bad bitch.
I cannot finish that. I hear that all the time. It goes right through my head. Like, I don't even like listen. Like, I hear it all the time though.
Listen, I have a goal with you. I'm going to loosen you the fuck up. I'm going to make you embarrass yourself one of these days.
Right.
It took me a long time. We're going to get there. We're going to do this again in a few years, and you're going to open the show with singing.
Perfect.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Wild On Wednesday, or if you're listening to this on Tuesday because you are an Impact Insider. Thank you for the support. If you would like to hear from a specific guest that the Wild On podcast has not covered yet, please do not hesitate to DM me and the Wild On team. Speaking of which, I would not be able to do this podcast without my badass punk rock girl band, the Wild On team. My right-hand woman, Queen Rochelle Duris, and our marketing specialist, Madison Golshani. And until next week, keep calm and wild on. Blessed be.